It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Every single woman who meets him instantly wants to sleep with him, or they're flirting with him.
Hello there, film lovers.
Try it again.
Hello there, film lovers. Are the levels good now? Don't be messing with my levels. They're at the levels. They're at the way I like them.
You can play the volume as loud as you want.
You press a little button for it, and it goes a little ooh, 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 ooh. That's right, we're starting the show quoting Jackie Brown. Welcome, film lovers, to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoce@wfyi.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soce. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog where you can review my Oscar picks, which you can read at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The voice you just heard is a man who's wearing his Los Pacers jersey.
That's right. I need to find one.
We love NBA Spanish.
Yep.
That's Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
And hanging out with us today, one of the usual suspects, not Benicio del Toro, but board president of the Indianapolis International Film Festival, theater manager of IMAX, and all-around cool guy, Craig Mintz. How are you, Craig?
Good, sir. How are you?
Once my play opens, I'll be a lot better.
Good,
in,
good.
In the shameless plug department, tonight, 7:30 p.m., Kobe and Bianca will be there.
Yep.
The play Born Yesterday, the 1940s comedy, is going to be on stage at Scottish Rite Cathedral, 6:50.
What, do you think I was born yesterday?
That's where that thing comes from. Only Judy Holliday, and in my case, Kelly Conkin, sounds a lot better than you. 6:50 North Meridian Street, 7:30 tonight, 7:30 tomorrow night, and then 7:30 next Friday and Saturday evening with a 3 p.m. performance on March 15th. You can call 262-3100 for ticket information. Now, even though it's a play, because this isn't theater sociology, it's film sociology. However, if you see Kobe at the theater and you go up and say to him, film sociology is a real show.
It's terrific.
Terrific. You will get a prize package courtesy of Film Sociology and WFYI. No, Craig, you can't.
Oh, man.
I know you... Well, if you've
I got
seen,
excited there.
If you've seen the audiences at Scottish Rite plays, he's not going to be hard to find. So
stick out, eh?
A little bit, a little bit. Brings the age average down a wee bit, a tad. So anyway, that is happening this weekend. So yeah, it's been a very, very busy week since the Academy Awards. We'll get to what I'm referring to is the absolute final Oscar breakdown ever. Because everybody,
a breakdown to end all breakdowns?
Not necessarily that, just the last one, since everybody talked about it on Monday and the show was on a Friday. So.
Although I may just tape one on Monday just to say that I could be the last one, or I'll just sit in my office computer or something like that and do my own little review.
Thanks a lot, smart guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He just wants to instigate.
Yeah.
You know, he is troublemaker.
He is.
Trouble man and other great Marvin Gaye
albums.
So, okay. Opening in theaters today that I didn't see, 300 Rise of an Empire. Apparently you can experience it in RPX. Craig, is that anything significant?
Is that the 48 frames thing? Or what
no,
is this?
I think it's an additional experience. It's kind of like a bigger screen, more powerful sound.
They have shirtless men yelling in your ears. Is this
running up and down the aisles,
like
throwing things at you.
It's like a modern William Castle film.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an interactive experience.
They're taking red corn syrup and splattering it on you. I only say that because the Indianapolis Star has this big blue ad, and it's at Greenwood Stadium 14, and you can experience it in RPX. So
it's, you know, typically that's new to the market. It's definitely worth a try. It's going to be a different experience.
Does it have to be 300? Couldn't it be, you know? Anyway,
it probably lends itself to that style.
By the way, not directed by Zack Snyder. Produced. That's just one of those things. Remember when it says from the director of. That means he's not or she is not directing it. He's producing it, but he's got nothing to do with it. So, yeah.
He's got other things.
He's got other things to do. What is he working on next? Why am I asking what Zack Snyder's working on next?
These are the questions that we ask here at Public Radio.
Really? What Zack Snyder's doing?
I don't know.
I'm more interested in what is Kobe watching, which will someday make its Phoenix-like return.
I'll see something sometime.
I gave you something this week.
Well,
you have a few of my titles that are gathering dust, but I gave you something new that
like
we're going to
Troll and Troll 2.
Oh, come on, those are fantastic.
See, and it should be part of the IMAX movie series at midnight.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
Oh, is that a thing?
I think every time I come, you give me another movie to add to that series.
I give you suggestions of films that should be shown at his theater
Troll 2.
That really have no business being at their theater, Miami Connection.
Now, I'm down for Miami Connection. I'd love to show that.
Oh, my gosh. So, anyway, we do spitballing and production meetings
for you, Matt. I think we should just do a weekend. Well, it's a Matt
Careful.
Festival.
Oh, that's a scary, scary thought.
Your birthday weekend.
Matt
we'll
Fest.
Figure some out.
Matt Fest.
Okay. Man.
Can we get a larger studio?
Imagine
for my head?
The possibilities.
And there will be like 20 really geeked out people, not including friends and family. Actually, maybe including friends and.
Yeah.
No, Lynn and Emma won't be there. My family has been inflicted upon by the room, and I don't think they're going to have that happen again. We'll work on that. All right,
yeah,
so 300 is in RPX.
And it's more 300-ier.
More screaming. You know what? I had an old man moment because last week, of course, we were paying tribute to the actor who played Cyrus from The Warriors, and I was like, you damn kids in your 300, watch The Warriors. Same story, shorter, less homoerotic. Weirder costumes, and not as loud.
Exactly.
So there's that. And now we have, speaking of homoerotic, Mr. Peabody and Sherman. I think it's more of a father-son relationship in this version, not the weird servant dog master. But the original, I don't know. They made a PG animated movie out of Mr. Peabody and Sherman. Which, you know, of course, is based on the 1960s cartoon that was along with Rocky and Bullwinkle. Mm-hmm. Very subversive, very funny cartoon. Mm-hmm. Don't know how subversive the animated feature is going to be.
It'll probably play just like Bullwinkle did when they did the live-action Bullwinkle.
As much as I would love to see Rene Russo dress up, that also required Jason Alexander and De Niro doing God knows what.
Yeah.
So, you've been warned about that. And, however, I want to start with... a film that I'm really, really happy I got to see, and it's called The Past. And this is from and I'm going to butcher this, so I'm sorry, writer-director Asghar Farhadi, who wrote and directed the great divorce drama A Separation, which got a screenplay nomination, and well-deserved.
Mm-hmm.
This is set in Paris, actually outside of Paris. We have a couple who have been separated for a while, and the wife is played by, pardon my French, Bérénice Bejo, who was the love interest in The Artist. So you've seen her, Kobe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that lady.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And her husband, played by Ali Mustafa, if I remember saying right. And he has been in Iran for 4 years, and he has flown back to Paris, flown back to France to finalize the divorce. And he's staying at the house. Meanwhile, she has moved on to a new relationship with kids. And she is dating somebody, well, engaged, and as we later find out, other things happening to her with the man, while his wife is in a coma. So what I loved about A Separation was the fact that it was half a universal story, you know, an ugly separation between a husband and a wife. And the whole Iranian aspect of it where, you know, divorce is frowned upon and you have a man in short white shirt sleeves who's not even looking up at you. That's going to determine your future. And in some cases, almost life and death. But in this case, it's the relationship itself. And there are moments where you think it's going to go one way. There's also a teenage daughter. There's the two young kids that are his. And you find out more aspects of the relationship history with this family, quote-unquote family. And it's really exhilarating to watch. It is not an August Osage County scream fest. There are really tense moments in this, but it's very subtle, and it's just as heartbreaking to watch as it is with a separation. So, as you see, I'm going through my notes. I'm Jim Rome. but no, I really, really enjoyed this. So, and I'm glad it's in town. It hopefully will last more than a week.
I'd say go see it while you can.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's with a lot of the titles. So,
well, and it's funny because like if the public goes and buys tickets, everybody goes to see it, it'll stay longer. That's the beauty of the business.
Well, I was pleasantly surprised that the short films lasted 2 weeks because usually that's a one and done.
So, one weekend, if you don't see it, you missed it.
Right. So
and a lot more theaters carried it like this year versus in years past.
Cool.
I think
that's a tremendous thing. Kobe, when Craig and I are gonna sit on the front porch because I always remember seeing those categories. As a kid, you're like, where am I going to see it? And my dad was like, well, look, you check the colleges and you check the festival circuit. I'm like, yeah. Dad, there's Flint, Michigan. There's no festival circuit. I don't believe there was a Detroit Film Festival when I was a kid. It's a shame. Anyway, the anticipation and the keep you guessing aspects of the past make it a really strong drama. And I know it got a Golden Globe for Best Foreign Film. I'm kind of shocked that it didn't make the best foreign film Oscar list. Granted, there's only five.
It's always a weird hodgepodge, too.
Because I know you can. I think every country is only supposed to represent one picture, and I know. I think France. I think technically it's a French film.
Yeah.
But I also think a lot of people are also surprised blue is the warmest color. I think because
didn't get
it. Yeah. I think also for us, we, the American audience, is that the more known imported films, we assume, like Blue's Warmest Color being an example, that it would have a shot of getting the nomination. So, but that is not the case. But anyway, it's in town. Go check it out.
Yes, 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 yes.
Absolutely. So, now we were talking off air. Craig, you have caught up on the Oscar picks
for the most part. I still haven't seen Wolf of Wall Street. I think that's the last one.
Hey, Kobe. That movie's obnoxious. A famous quote by his lovely wife an hour into the film. Took her that long. No, we're kidding. just a reminder. And of course, the Academy Awards is really the only. It's you look at the gold. I pay attention to the Golden Globes a little.
Yeah.
But I was happy to say I was not online during the Oscars. I guess we'll do the Oscar forecast now.
Okay.
But it is business. I always remember Roger Ebert saying, when you get nominated, you're guaranteed one film. If you win, you're guaranteed three.
Yeah.
And
it's political too.
It's very political. So, we've 10 years from now, we can talk about, Her is a better film than 12 Years a Slave or whatever, but it is good business. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that, and this is a rarity because 12 Years a Slave is out on Blu-ray and DVD this week, but it's also in theaters still.
Which, 12 Years a Slave is one of those films that really should be experienced in a theater. We ran it down at the IMAX in 35mm. It was one of the few prints that was stricken, and it was beautiful. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. It's a gut-wrenching film, but to see it on the big screen in any theater, honestly, is definitely worth the price.
Yeah, we had a press screening of it, of course, and when you see old crusty guys, that's us, with our Haterade, and you see us wincing and squirming. That's a sure sign. Yeah. So, and it's amazing what winning an award, people immediately want to see it just to see why it won. I got a call from one of our regular guests, Mr. Slagle. Abdul Kim Shabazz says that his lovely wife wants to see 12 Years a Slave.
Hasn't seen it yet.
Mr. Shabazz has his own way of thinking, and he's like, I don't really need to see this, and apparently now he is going to. But I think he's going to play the if we see this, I get to pick the next 4 to 5 films.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of how Abdul is, and he's I know he's not here to defend himself. He'll agree with me. Yeah. It's the
all play that game.
One free. I think I was more upfront about it with my wife than before, but it's like one for you, one, two, three, four for me. Yeah. So, but Kobe's a newlywed. They're still one-on-one.
Hardly.
So anyway, but there are still a number of films that were nominated and that won that are still in theaters. You know, at Keystone Art alone, you got Dallas Buyers Club, Philomena, American Hustle, Her, Nebraska, Wind Rises, subtitled and dubbed.
Ooh.
Still there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would actually like to see the dubbed version only because I know Werner Herzog provided a voice. And
oh, really?
Yes, he did. And now I want him to do more animated vocal voice work. So, and of course, Werner, if you're listening, I want pledge breaks. I want pledge breaks and I want a show ID. I'm asking for a lot. So, anyway, while we're on it, Craig, what is happening at IMAX this weekend?
This weekend at the IMAX, not too terribly much. We've got two movies playing right now. One's called Titans of the Ice Age 3D, which is about mammoths and mastodons. A really neat film.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Somebody just perked
up. You know, a little of this, a little of that.
He's not Joe Scheer. He's actually giving us information.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not being vague.
No vagues here. I'll give you the show times if you want them. Coming up, though, we've got a really neat film, and if anybody went and saw the Lego movie, you probably saw the trailer for it. It's called Island of the Lemurs, Madagascar 3D.
Yes.
And we're actually going to be the only theater showing that on April 4th, and I saw it last week. It is so good. Cute, traditional documentary-style IMAX shot with IMAX 3D cameras. The vistas are beautiful. The lemurs themselves have their own little personalities. It's a really, really fun film.
Who's narrating this one?
Who do you think's narrating?
Morgan.
That? Oh yeah.
Still, I thought they're not handing it off to anybody else.
He's so good. Yes, everybody loves Morgan.
So that means parents, kids, we're gonna see a movie with animals.
Yeah.
Real live animals.
Yeah.
So there's that. I was hoping you guys would bring back Gravity.
You know what? Honestly, they didn't do any film prints of Gravity in IMAX, only the digital release.
Oh, okay.
And after the fact, they were, from what I hear through the grapevine, they were kicking themselves because that movie would have played really well in a lot of the institutional IMAX theaters, the big IMAX theaters.
Yes.
But they did bring back Gravity, I think, in some of the other IMAX theaters. And again, that's, you know, that is a movie you want to pay the premium to go see it in IMAX 3D.
Hell yes. But now it's out on DVD and Blu-ray.
Why watch it at home?
Well, I Chris Lloyd, I believe, if you go to the Film Yaps page, talked about because of the size of it, seeing it at home, you are more focused on the performances. So I guess there is that.
Yeah, I could see that.
But sit up close in your living room. It's not going to be quite the same, but it's something nonetheless. So.
I was exhausted after I saw that in IMAX.
I was too.
Like, I walked away and took a nap.
I had a film and a nap.
Yeah.
It's like having a rehearsal and a nap. So, okay. And then what's coming soon?
We're going to extend our art house series over the next couple months. We've got a couple of midnight horror movies from IFC.
What do you got?
I've got a movie called Almost Human, which was an homage to The Thing. It's a really neat film that's going to open at the end of this month. And in April, it looks like we're going to be running a film called Proxy, which was directed by a filmmaker out of Richmond named Zach Parker.
Yes.
And it played at Toronto. So I think we're going to play that and another IFC Midnight film along with that, like a double feature.
And when's that coming?
April, the last weekend in April, I believe.
Kobe, midnight horror movies.
Yeah. We're easing into it for you, Matt. I'm going to get you your own series.
Oh, I really, really think that's terrifying and great, but thank you. But no, Scary Movies and Kobe.
Don't mix?
No, don't like it.
Don't like it.
Don't like it, so that's okay. Okay, so I guess I'll ask, Craig, your thoughts on the Academy Awards experience.
You know, it was predictable. I mean, I think everybody kind of knew who was going to get what was going to get who. About the only ones that... I don't think anybody had a pure beat on were the shorts. Those are always the ones that it's kind of anybody's guess. It's really hard to pin down what's going to win. But if for everything else, it was It was pretty much business as usual.
I was 20 out of 24.
Yeah.
And
the four were the shorts.
No, the two were the shorts. Yeah. I was dead wrong on two of those. I have an annual bet with two different friends when we do this, and one was a draw and the other I lost. But the head got in the way of one category and the heart got in the way of another category. Well, well, I had picked for animated shorts, I picked Possessions. I thought that was okay. The best looking.
Yeah.
But of course Mr. Hublot won that. And there wasn't anything that if it won I was angry about. There mm-hmm. you know, there's I did not throw up my hands when you know, something I mean, I was really happy that 20 Feet from Stardom won Best Documentary. I thought it would go to Act of Killing.
Yeah.
Part of it was the profound kind of what aspect of that story. And I didn't think that there would, I didn't think the Academy Award would award two music documentaries back to back. I was wrong.
Yeah.
So, but.
I'm with you. I thought it was really polished. Like 20, that document, I think it looked really, really good. It looked really well done. And I feel like they tend to go towards the grittier documentaries, the ones that have a little bit more of a gut-wrenching story.
Yeah, so that was my guess on that. Live action, I had picked Akiel no Era Yo, and of course they went to Healing. Healing was a very sweet story, and I probably should have picked that one as well. But no, I stuck to my guns, and I had picked Chiwetel Ejiofor for best actor, but you know, all the cards were in Matthew's favor.
It was a neck and neck for those two.
I thought Matthew McConaughey was, in my opinion, was third because I also had Bruce Stern. I'd love to have seen
Wouldn't that have been amazing?
Although seeing Jim Carrey do the Bruce Stern face, ladies and gentlemen, the first time I saw Jim Carrey do stand up, and this was like HBO in the early mid 80s.
Quacker Factory, like back when he did
it wasn't that, but it was, that's right, he did do that. But he did a stand up thing and he was doing the faces. He did Eastwood, he did Bronson. I remember he did E.T. the Extraterrestrial, and then did Charles Nelson Reilly the Extraterrestrial. He did Henry Fonda on Golden Pop, but he did the Bruce Dern face, which is big eyes and kind of a jaws out a little bit. And the fact that he did an homage to Bruce Dern during the broadcast was great.
And it was spot on.
It was spot on. And I think Bruce was genuinely amused and did not want to beat him up. And because I remember reading, I think it was an interview, that when Laura Dern and Jim Carrey met, she would drag him to parties. And she was like, do my dad. You know, she got the huge guy. Anyway, that was the geekiest moment. Yeah, that was, for me, better than the selfie and the pizza guy getting $1,000. It was just that little film nerd nugget that I really, really enjoyed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I went with Chiwetel Ejiofor because, kind of like McConaughey, he's you know, he's been rock solid in. I think he's been Ejiofor has been rock solid in stuff longer.
Oh, yeah.
And even if he's in something pedestrian like 2012 or Salt, I really like watching him work.
Yeah.
And you know, I thought also, well, it was a different form of suffering for your art than what Matthew did. So, but yeah, I get it. I'm fine.
It was a solid lineup of best actors. Like
it was a strong five. Yeah. And I think when people ask, you know. When people were raising their eyebrows that Tom Hanks didn't get in, you know, the question is, well, who do you take out? Yeah. And I'm sure someone would say DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Although, man, he's exhausting to watch. That's you know what? It wasn't obnoxious, Kobe. It was exhausting because he's in pretty much every frame of that film for 3 hours.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, everybody else really, really solid. And the obligatory, I thought. That Ellen DeGeneres was fine as a host. I'm not watching it for the host. She is hired to do what she's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And then half the audience doesn't like her because she's hired to do what she's supposed to do.
Yeah.
It happened with Letterman. It happened with Jon Stewart. It happened with Billy Crystal, with Whoopi Goldberg. It happens
Ricky
with
Gervais,
everybody.
Right. All of them.
So what do you don't hire somebody who has a certain specialty of hosting a comedy and then have them do the exact opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't work that way. So, Kobe, you watched it with Fair Sweet Bianca, right? Did you watch the whole thing?
Yes, most of it.
Most of it. Frank got tired? Frank is their cat, not their child.
Yeah, Frank got tired. Snack detail wore out and...
Snack. That's right. We were joking that Emma was looking over a dry erase board trying to figure out the menu for the Oscars. Okay, we need a protein. We need something salty and sweet. But yeah, polenta fries were a huge hit.
Oh, really?
That she made. Nice. Well, not made. Okay, she cut the roll in half and equal cutting. We had ribs. So what'd you have, Kobe? It's the Food Network portion of the film show.
It's a little known topic. People don't usually talk about this.
Oh, serious stuff. Serious stuff.
I kept it simple and just munched on pistachios.
Have you made a pistachio crusted protein?
I have not. That sounds incredible though.
There was and it was just bugging me that it was there was a cool little breakfast and lunch place in Richmond, and they made a pistachio crusted tenderloin.
Ooh. I think you told me about once.
This was my favorite tenderloin, and it was. And not only was it my favorite tenderloin, it was grilled. You know, because my body, my aura screams fried. but the grilled pistachio crusted tenderloin was fantastic. The fried one, not bad. But
so they had a grill and a fried version.
Yeah, they did. And I opted for the grill. And it's one of those things. I need to recreate it. And apparently you have pistachios at your house, Kobe. So I think you should give that a shot. I've mastered the pretzel crusted protein, but I think pistachio is next.
Not ventured out into crusting things a whole lot.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you go.
You have a weekend project now.
Well, working on perfecting the deep fry technique on various proteins, but you know it's kind of hard when
starches.
You got to keep the deep fryer outside because it stinks and it's 20 degrees outside. You don't want to fry stuff out there then.
And you don't want sitcom wife look.
She likes it.
What? She also likes the stink and the mess.
No, okay. No, but I deal with that. So
I see. So
naturally.
And Craig, what did you eat during the Academy Awards?
We actually did nachos. We made nachos, which
nachos. You're English.
They were actually quite good.
We Mrs. Sosie, we call her Lynn in my house.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, because if I call her Mrs. Sosie around the house, I also get sitcom wife look. But yeah, she just bought a stack of tortillas to which we will try to make nachos. Individually.
Oh man.
Oh yeah. We
oh,
get.
Oh really?
Oh yes. You
like
single
chip nachos.
Single chip. It's the never ending battle between quantity versus quality. Uh-huh. We've all been there in one way, shape, or form. So yeah. I think we might be working on that a little bit.
Nice.
So Mr. Slagle.
Yes.
What is happening at your alma mater? And do you also have the IMA? I know the IMA is wrapping up very soon.
Anyway. Nothing at the IMA this week.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's
really
strange. I thought maybe next week.
Well, actually, let me check real quick.
I think they're showing a Miyazaki film next week because Emma really wants to show.
My Neighbor Totoro? Totoro. Yes.
Oh, careful. Emma will jump through the door and correct you on that. Yeah, she really, really wants to see that on the big screen.
So that's next week at the IMA. But this week at IU Cinema tonight, Friday, March 7th, The Lady from Shanghai from 1948 at 7 o'clock.
Orson Welles film noir. And that's a new print.
They're showing it on print on 35.
I believe they are. Can you click on that? See if that's true.
I'll let's see here.
An underrated Orson Welles film, and film sociology guest Peter Bogdanovich has talked to no end. Yeah, I label people that. I believe he also did the commentary on the DVD many, many moons ago. But yeah, that's worth checking out. Do we have
iconic noir classic has never looked this good. This stunning restoration was completed from 4K scans of the original. Nitrate negative.
Oh, that's good. That's tonight?
That is tonight, 7 o'clock, IU Cinema.
Say, those who have HD radios in their car, start heading south. Yeah. That's great. Okay, what else you got?
Tomorrow, Saturday, March 8th, 3 o'clock, Magnificent Obsession from 1954.
Ooh, okay.
6:30, The Conversation.
Great film. Francis Ford Coppola's other... That's your secondary film from 1974 with Gene Hackman, John Cazale, young Terry Garr. Oh, gosh, good stuff. You've not seen that, have you, Mr. Slater?
I've not seen
it. It's from the 70s.
Well, then it's a different time then. I might not be into it because it might be slow.
First off, you're an idiot. But Gene Hackman is a wiretapper expert. He he winds up taping a conversation with a young Cindy Williams and an even younger Frederick Forrest, And Duvall is in the film as well. There's a Harrison Ford cameo early in his career. This was right after American Graffiti. But he winds up getting emotionally involved in two people who he has wiretapped. And it's really, really cool. And, of course, if you're a fan of the film The Lives of Others, which won Best Foreign Film a couple years back. That's right. It beat Pan's Labyrinth, I believe. Anyway, that's a great double feature. But, yeah, The Conversation, excellent film from Francis Ford Coppola, 1974.
Following up the conversation, at 9:30 from 1963, The Terror.
Oh, the Boris Karloff, Edgar Allan Poe, Jack Nicholson. That's a Roger Corman film.
Yes.
It's part of their Corman series,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, yeah. The Art and Legacy of Roger Corman series.
We need to make a road trip and head down to see the Corman films there.
And then Sunday, March 9th at 6:30 p.m., Double Exposure. It is an experimental shorts program. A collaboration between the IU School of Music, Jacobs School students, composition students, and I believe it's the communications department down there at IU. They have put together these films, silent films, live accompaniment in the
That's a really neat series. They have an orchestra pit in the theater that drops down and they'll perform in there. It's really neat.
See, we need to talk to John Vickers, of course, of IU Cinema, because we have pitched the idea of I want him to show Strange Brew with live accompaniment by Rush.
Oh.
Let's see. Come on. There's a handful of us that would go and pay top buck for that.
No, you can't have beer in the theater, so it'd be tough.
I think if I talk...
You can sneak it in.
I'm going to talk to John because I did bring up he had the great 24-hour Philip Seymour Hoffman Festival, and it did not dawn on him until I brought it up. Like, you know there's going to be pizza boxes in the theater, right? Maybe.
I think they looked the other way on that one.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? So let's see. Upland's down in Bloomington.
Upland is down in Bloomington.
It's not too far from the theaters. A couple miles, maybe.
Interesting. John's going to put a lock on the door. All right, let's take a short break, and then we'll talk a little bit about what is on DVD and Blu-ray, maybe some more Oscar stuff, and who knows? Oh, we have some dead people we like, because we don't have time for dead people we don't like. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point at WFYI.org. Here's Blackula. We'll be right back.
any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Thank you, Tyler.
Thank you, Tyler. Always the permanent film sociology intern, Tyler Hansborough. How's Tyler doing with the... Do you have the Raptor stats in your Raptor bag?
Off the, I got it right here in my Raptor bag.
That's 2 Jackie Brown quotes in one show. Thank you very much. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, like, what the hell are you talking about? Go to msoci@wfyi.org, also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Soci. Greg Mintz of the IIFF and IMAX is hanging out with us. Kobe Slagle's looking up Tyler Hansborough information because that's what you need on the film show is white basketball stats. And we were talking earlier about the Academy Awards and how every now and then you get a film like 12 Years a Slave, which is out, still out in theaters, mm-hmm. and it's out on DVD and Blu-ray. And I remember there was an interesting note that when I had some of the IFJA guys in to talk about the Oscars, Lou Harry made the point of pointing this out, that we were talking about a lot of films other than 12 Years. And I think it seemed early on everybody kind of knew this was going to be this was going to be it.
The picture.
And I know like Ed and some of the others were very adamant to wanting to bring up Her, mm-hmm. which I was really, really happy it got Best Original Screenplay. Yeah. Well deserved. And then
Spike on stage too. That was a trip.
That was cool.
Yeah.
And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, people gripe about the length of the Academy Awards. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
It's the only award show I watch. I don't watch the red carpet. I check with my daughter if she wants to watch the red carpet. She doesn't care. Yeah. So I'm only really committed to the 3.5 to 4 hours. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
But also the fact that you get some really fascinating moments from the quote-unquote lesser categories.
Yeah.
You know, you get some real genuine heart and soul and funny stuff and sad stuff and touching stuff. Yes, you know, Emma noticed this year that, you know, the lead actors get a little more airtime.
Oh, yeah.
She takes umbrage with that because she's 12 and has opinions. But to get a cinematographer, to get a short filmmaker, to get Lupita Nyong'o to...
Oh, that was an excellent speech.
Sure, between her and the gentleman from Captain Phillips, who I always said, I want them knee-deep in swag and booze all weekend. Make the most out of this.
Exactly.
I knew if I was there, I'd be standing next to... You going to take that swag bag
home?
I'd
put that in my pocket.
Right.
Like, everything's going to go
in. I bring
in
a scuba bag. I'm just like, hey, are you going to take your little swag bag home? Because you make $20 million a picture. Can I have it? You know, totally. Just absolutely shameless. So... Anyway, so I'm good with those. In fact, I wish it still burns me that I wish they would bring back the Thalberg Awards and the Career Achievement Awards. I know they have a set. I get it that they get longer time at a ceremony, which is not really aired for any broadcast, longer than they would the 5 minutes. I still want it.
Yeah.
I remember they wheeled out Eli Wallach and Francis Coppola. I remember somebody else who had an award, and I'm like, nah, they deserve the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And you deserve to watch them.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm off the front stoop. Although I will say, besides the Bruce Dern face and the selfie, which was very amusing, that everybody got involved with that was fine. But I saw a picture somebody posted on their Twitter page. This was my favorite limo shot. It was Bruce Dern, Mickey Rooney, and Martin Landau all in one limousine.
From this year's Oscars.
From this year's. Yeah, Rooney's still with us.
Wow.
So, I know people were talking about the incoherency of Kim Novak and really McConaughey a little bit. And, Poitier was in pretty good form. A little frail, fragile, but he's still...
A little confused, but he got it out.
But he was in there. Well, they all can't be Kirk Douglas.
Yeah.
We were talking about Kirk Douglas... As uncomfortable as people may feel it is to have, like, it's like the Dick Clark thing, is, you know, with the droop lip and the stir. But that dude was hitting on Anne Hathaway and Melissa Leo at the same time. You go, Kirk Douglas. The original, I don't want to talk to you. One of my favorite Kirk Douglas, and I don't know if it's true or not. I hope it is. Otherwise, either way, it's great storytelling.
Yeah, yeah.
But is that anytime he calls his son's house and Michael picks up, Kirk would say, I don't want to talk to you. So, good.
I might have to start that with some people I know.
Oh, I've already done that with a certain somebody I know. Hi, Cobe. But how should I put this carefully? Kirk Douglas, keep eating the vitamins, dude.
Exactly.
That's just fantastic. So, yeah, speaking of, you know, knee-deep in chicks and booze, yeah, I want Landau, Rooney, and Dern just... running
in a limo.
Forget Las Vegas. Let's have those three just run rampant all over LA at night.
A talk show. It just drives around and it follows them in the back of a limo. Just camera on, and it's just their conversation.
It's with Heather Graham, so it looks like that bad limo scene of Boogie Nights. Yeah. So yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of surprises. Really happy Gravity got the technical stuff and the directing stuff because it's deserved. And those people who made jokes about Gravity winning sound, shut up. Not funny.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, Yoko broke up the Beatles, okay? So anyway. So hopefully more of these films will get a wider release. Of course, 12 Years a Slave, if you don't want to see it in theaters, and even though you think you should, it is out on Blu-ray this week, as well as The Grandmaster, which I was really happy got some technical nominations.
Yeah.
Now it also helps that the Weinsteins picked it up.
Yeah.
But I think it was production design and I think
cinematography yeah.
Which was it's a beautiful looking film. It's in the story of Ip Man, the martial arts master who wound up becoming the instructor for Bruce Lee in his young days, and it's his journey from going through many decades and affairs and loves and lost. And it's, for me, the best combination of martial arts and overall cinema feel since Crouching Tiger.
And these movies are just gorgeous anymore. They're just beautiful to watch.
Absolutely. So that and good balance. And I mean, that's hard because I thought Hero and House of Flying Daggers had just as strong a look of action and overall beauty. Mm-hmm. So that's out there as well. Today is the 7th. So also now out, Kobe's excited. Hunger Games, Catching Fire.
Yeah.
Meh. Eh? No? You're not gonna pick up the entire collection?
I mean, we most likely will, but
you seem... When it comes to stuff that you guys dig, you're a completist.
Yeah.
Not elitist, completist. So.
Yeah, definitely a completist. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't...
Nearly as exhilarating as the first one?
No. It wasn't...
It's a step down. It's a stepping stone for two more films when it should be one.
Right, and I think
part
of the reason
Jackson
is...
effect.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pete.
But I think it's because, I mean, I read the book, so I know what's happening. So I know all the cool stuff that's about to come, and, you know, this is just...
It's a stepping stone.
Yeah, it's all this.
You know, because having said that, of course, it's one of the last works of Mr. Hoffman, because I thought... Because you know what? Having Donald Sutherland as your adversary wasn't bad enough, and for me, they couldn't get to the island fast enough. That was probably my biggest quibble with Catching Fire. Once it's there, it delivers. But yeah, did not blow me away as much as the first film. And also out on Blu-ray and DVD, and I don't know anybody who saw this, so I'm going to ask you if you saw this, Spike Lee's Old Boy.
Yeah, I really wanted to.
Josh Brolin running with a hammer.
I'm like a huge Josh Brolin fan ever since like The Goonies. I've totally been down with Josh Brolin. And I love the first one so much. The story, the hallway scene with the hammer. I mean,
yep.
I'll give this one a watch on DVD. I just couldn't, timing-wise, I couldn't work it into the schedule in theaters. But I'm going to give it a shot, at least. There are a lot of people that won't.
Yeah, I know. So we'll check. What was it? Somebody, believe it or not, somebody had a copy of the overseas copy of the movie, and somebody put on the blurb an uninspired remake to make it look like critical praise. I'm like, somebody missed that in the translation, I guess. So those are basically the new titles on DVD and Blu-ray. Old titles on DVD and Blu-ray, Kobe, you've been warned. I don't know if she knows this, so I bring this up, but Somewhere in Time, which I thought was already out on Blu-ray, but sometimes they kind of repackage things and, you know, put a new label on it. But
extra commentary.
Well, I don't even think that. I think it's just a new package, new cover. So do you know Somewhere in Time, Kobe? Christopher Reeve, Jane Seymour.
Nope.
I will say it was the Nicholas Sparks of its day. I forget who wrote the novel, but it's time travel and it's soft focus and women in 1980 swooned over this film, big time, big time. So, just warning you, it's because that was what we do, is we look out for you. Or occasionally I'll take one for the team and.
Sage like it.
Yes, thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem. Also on Blu-ray, if you need this, I guess this is also the question, do you need these films on Blu-ray? An American Tale. Silent shrug from Craig. Good for radio. So I'm just saying this out there. Fried Green Tomatoes? No, he says no. Also from the people that wanted you to see Somewhere in Time. Far and Away?
Oh, is that the Tom Cruise
and Nicole Kidman? Yes, Tom Cruise with the Irish accent.
Yeah.
But once they get to America and the horse race,
because
it's Ron Howard, kind of cool.
Yeah,
cool
yeah.
horse race.
Yeah.
So maybe we're at that. Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh,
yes,
yeah. I would own that. I would. That's like a 80s classic right there, isn't it? Sasquatch?
Yeah, I know. I know the film. Uh-huh. I got pulled into a survey at a mall because of that film.
So does that like dampen your opinion of it?
No, because I really wasn't all that high about it to begin with. I knew it was coming out because I was reading Entertainment Weekly back in the '80s. But I was like, okay, well, it's got Lithgow, that's fine. The original Hairspray, the John Waters film, is now out on Blu-ray. Don't know if it technically needs to be if it cleans up anymore, but it's out there. Garden State. For you Zach Braff fams. Is Zach Braff on your list?
Yes.
Jeez.
What list?
Oh, Kobe has a list. I don't think we can actually say the title of the list, but there's people that Kobe just makes.
No, I do not get that. I do not get the obsession with Zach Braff.
Okay.
Not at all.
Or Vince Vaughn.
But once you get past a certain year, a certain movie.
So Ryan Reynolds is on that list.
Pretty much a wrap, yeah.
Yeah, Dane Cook, mm-hmm. even though he's really no longer relevant.
Yeah, I think he's doing too much.
But
he's harmless.
Yeah. He's harmless. But yes, Garden State, one of the higher end loser returns home films that have.
I don't care.
You don't care.
don't care.
You're not going back to Fort Myers. No. Yeah, as your coffee mug on your desk says, no.
Coming down in May.
That's right. So, Intolerable Cruelty. The Coen Brothers film with George Clooney and Catherine Zeta-Jones, as George puts it, his idiot trilogy with the Coen Brothers, along with Burn After Reading and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And finally, an old title on Blu-ray. If you've never seen Glengarry Glen Ross or Wall Street or even Runner Runner, which also had Ben Affleck in it, Boiler Room.
Which was, if I'm not mistaken, it's the same story that they based Wolf of Wall Street off of, correct?
I think so, and shorter.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it's less obnoxious than Wolf of Wall Street.
It had more Vin Diesel in it, too.
It did have more of Vin Diesel in it, but and shorter than Wolf of Wall Street. So maybe that's the reason. Because sometimes you look at titles like, why are they putting it out now? Oh, right, because it's out there. Okay, another title that is out on DVD because of Film Movement. Hello, Lisa. And I've actually passed this on to Kobe, so hopefully soon we will have a new What is Kobe Watching? The documentary called The Iran Job. And this is the documentary of Kevin Shepard, who is a kind of a journeyman basketball player. You know, and these stories fascinate me because we hear about them all the time. He was, you know, a good player in college. Looked like he was going to get drafted by the pros and then didn't. And then he got asked to be on practice squads and then he was playing in, you know, several different countries, and wound up getting a job playing with one of the national teams in Iran, A.S. Shiraz. And I believe he's originally living in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And so there's the culture clash, because there's a lot of, you know, because pro ball players, or I should say ball players from the States, you know, they want to play the game, and sometimes they don't think where they're going to be playing or where they're going to be living and how they're going to be eating and things like this. So Kevin has going into a politically hostile environment, but he is there for a reason, because it's there for pro ball, and the accommodations are not the most glamorous in the world, and the team's not good. He is there along with a player from Serbia, and their job is, of course, to kind of be the ringers and bring the team up. So, but there's there's also not just the culture of the country, but also as far as sports. After a very frustrating loss, he kicks a trash can, and it gets national news coverage. Or as Meta World Peace likes to call it, Tuesday. Look it up. So there's that. There's, sneaking a can of beer in on Christmas, and he's actually palling up with the nurses in his physical therapy office, but of course he has to sneak them in and out of the apartment at night, and taking their scarves off is a big deal. Uh-huh. So I think if you're a sports fan, you'll hopefully be able to, and even if you're not, just be introduced to a culture, or just be reminded of the culture of this. So definitely worth checking out, whether you're a sports fan or not. It does have a little 30 for 30 feel to it, but that's not a bad thing.
Nope.
So and pretty good footage. And yes, you are rooting. You do root for this team, because they have I think it's 13 teams, and the top 8 get to go to the playoffs. And and especially in lieu of the Olympics, you hate to wonder what happens to the players and the coach that are in the bottom five. And apparently, as you see in the film, Iranian basketball crowds are really rowdy.
Really?
Really rowdy. Not quite like – worse than the
– Not UC Santa Barbara?
Yeah, worse than the jerk that came out. Yeah, the UC Santa Barbara Hawaii game.
Knucklehead.
Which happened yesterday. Did you see this?
No.
There was a kid during a game who basically no security around. Now, I'm sure security will be beefed up now.
Oh, yeah.
But it was UC Santa Barbara. Was it at UC?
It was at UC.
UC against Hawaii. And a guy ran onto the court. A kid ran onto the court and got in the face of the head coach of Hawaii.
Did not have to push around any security guards.
Just ran right out.
Literally. You see it. Yeah. Like from the steps down to the floor.
Literally walks down the stairs like you normally walk down the stairs in your house. And onto
right
the
onto
court.
The floor.
If you have a hardwood floor,
yeah.
And a big logo in the center. But yeah, and I'm sure this made the national sports news, and I'm sure security going to be beefed up now. I have become an old person. Now we're at the sports portion of the film show. I'm not a fan of the running onto the courts, because somebody will get trampled.
Oh yeah.
But the fact that there's one guy, and of course we in football, a lineman would have knocked this guy out.
Oh yeah.
We've seen those. You've seen the guys run on with either they're streaking or they're throwing their mother's ashes onto the field, and there's this kind of unofficial rule that if you're on the field,
you're fair game.
You're pretty much fair game. Now that's maybe, you know, football slightly different than basketball and baseball, but yeah, football, soccer, you get what's coming to you. Yeah. So anyway, that is out. To go check that out at the Film Movement website. Hey, Kobe.
Yes.
You know what it's time for?
Is it time for Chris Lloyd?
One of our all-time favorite. Chris Lloyd will always have a special place in the heart. He's not really going anywhere. But sorry, I didn't mean that. But I mean, he's provided us with great nuggets of audio joy here at Film Sociology, and this is one of them.
Doing our the annual show of dead people we like.
there's a pretty big one this
week. We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes. And by the way, Kobe, you followed it up nicely with that, because we never have time for dead people we don't like. And pardon my French once again. Director Alain Rena, who did Hiroshima More and More, passed 91.
Wow.
And I hate to say, I thought he was already dead. But, of course, his first major directorial achievement, 1955, with the documentary Night and Fog, Holocaust documentary. Mm. It's on Criterion.
Let's check that out.
Kobe?
Yes.
Do not end an evening with Night and Fog.
No.
And you know what?
You know what? The thought never crossed my mind.
Not going to start an evening with Night and Fog either.
No, I'm not.
Or 12 Years a Slave. Yeah. Don't, yeah. Or watch that and then Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
That, which I think actually does happen in the Slagle household. But Je T'aime, I know was, I think that was one of his. I'm sorry. And Wild Grass from 2009. But yeah, Hiroshima Momo about the doomed love affair between a Japanese architect and a French actress. So, and I think he's, you know, not as known as Truffaut and Renoir, but still worth checking out. So, also writer and producer Stanley Rubin, who wrote such films as Lucky Legs, South to Karenga, and Mr. Dynamite, not Black Dynamite.
No.
That's a different thing. also did gosh, this is the second reference I did to this. He also worked on producing 1990s Tony Scott's film Revenge with Kevin Costner mm-hmm. and Anthony Quinn mm-hmm. and Clint Eastwood's White Hunter Black Heart. Remember that, where Clint Eastwood was John Huston, basically?
Oh, okay.
He was a director, and he was also big game hunting out in Africa.
Yeah, that's right.
And let's see. He also did a film. This is the second reference to Susan Clark in one day for me. By the way, Kobe, look up Google image Susan Clark.
Okay.
Mrs. Alex Karras. But he produced a film, Babe, about Babe Didrikson, who was a famous female athlete. It also did the TV movie of the story of Leroy Satchel Paige with Lou Gossett Jr. as Satchel Paige. So pretty cool about that. No, I was watching the reason why I bring up Susan Clark, besides she was always cherries forever in Porky's, but I was watching the 1968 cop drama Madigan. This is directed by Don Siegel.
Okay.
Of course, worked with Clint Eastwood in Coogan's Bluff and Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
Richard Widmark, Henry Fonda, Inger Stevens. You might look up Inger Stevens after this. I think you'll say she's 60s pretty, Mr. Slagle. And Harry Gardino was in it. And it was a potboiler cop drama from the late 60s.
Was this a TV show?
It was a movie first.
Okay.
And then it became a TV show with Richard Widmark. It was part of the, I think it was the part of the mystery movie rotation.
Gotcha.
With Columbo. So anyway, Susan Clark, always fun. And we finally raise a glass to actress Gail Gerber, who died at the age of 76. She was she quit acting in 1966 and got married to Terry Southern, who of course wrote Easy Rider and Doctor Strangelove. But she was an Elvis girl in two Elvis movies.
Really?
1965's Harum Scarum and Girl Happy. Because I'm always fascinated by the women who think their career is going to be launched by doing an Elvis movie, unless you're Nancy Sinatra or Anne Margaret.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So so there is that. She also did the 1965 film The Girls on the Beach. Well, really, who didn't in 1965? And also Village of the Giants, which, if I remember right, was a Mystery Science Theater film with a young Ron Howard and a young Beau Bridges.
Ooh.
Have to double-check that, so... the other thing, how we got? We got 2 minutes?
2 minutes.
Okay, Tua.
Tua.
The other, we have a Soci family tradition, the day of the Academy Awards, we try to watch a best winner picture from the past. Emma selected One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Really?
Oh. Only because it's her words, it's got the dad from The Shining. And I said, honey, I'm not going to lecture you on his career.
Yeah.
Just yet, but you eventually will have to know the career impact that Jack Nicholson had.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard him referred to as the dad
Yeah, because it's Jack.
Yeah.
So yeah, and of course, what most people think, you know, hysterical first half, and Emma ended with, well, that ended as a bummer. Okay, I think we have just enough time to go into the archives or movies that you can only buy online through Warner Archives or MGM, or as Kobe likes to put it.
Yeah, I'll burn it for like $5.
You know, we go to 1925. I'd never heard of this and realized that he had done films. 1925's The Better One, starring the half-brother of Charles Chaplin, Sid Chaplin. Not quite Jason Connery, but he is a 30-year-old Army private, and guess what? chicanery happens on
various
the military.
Chicanery?
Various forms of chicanery in World War One, when thwarting the German army, and there's trash detail, and it's mishaps where he gets in and out of foxholes and dealing with high-ranking officers. I'm sure this was hysterical stuff in 1925. It is a...
Doesn't translate.
Well, it's a footnote because it is a you know, the half-brother of one of comedy's greats. So there you go. Words to live by.
Silent Green is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
That'll also be a part of Matt Fest. Craig, thanks for hanging out.
Thank you for having me.
Go see a movie at IMAX and go say hi to Craig. You deserve it. Or go see Born Yesterday at Scottish Rite this weekend.
Yes.
You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI, HG to the point, WFYI.org. Good night, Fort Myers, California, Michigan. We missing anybody?
We gone.